Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Okay, it's one of those Leo Getz moments, you know. Okay. I got to explain this a little better. The iron law of contradiction. I'm going to get to that. I promise once it kind of sinks in, everything's going to make a whole bunch of sense. But yesterday, the case got so ridiculous, the Donald Trump Twinkies case up in New York. The case has gotten so ridiculous, this NDA case. Nobody knew how to talk about it on cable news. Did you see it? The National Enquirer guy was named David Pecker. And they were like, Pecker standing up. This is how stupid this has gotten. This is what happens when you let freaking lunatics run the country who decide it's a good idea to take a former president, stick him in a dingy courtroom during a campaign. You can only hope these losers are distanced from power and then prosecuted themselves later for stealing away Donald Trump's civil rights. I got a lot to talk about today, including my iron law contradiction. It's important. Today's show is sponsored by Blackout Coffee. Stop giving you money. Woke companies don't care about you. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/Bongino. Use coupon code Bongino for 20% off your first order. Folks, I need to explain it better. I will. The iron law of contradiction. What that basically means is whatever the left is taking a stand on, it's not on principle. They're only doing it because you took the opposite stand. And the minute that flips, they will go right back and do the opposite thing again. I've got hardcore receipts as it relates to this Supreme Court case yesterday. The very important one about presidential immunity. Stay tuned. MyPatriotSupply.com. Most of these emergencies come without a warning. That's why they're emergencies. You have to be able to grab your go bag, your water, and your food and go. That's why they're go stuff. You need food ready to rock and roll. The best way to do it, 4-week emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply. Helping millions of American families prepare since 2008. My Patriot Supply, they're the experts in all things self-reliance. The 4-week emergency food kits offer over 2,000 calories a day, protected by heavy-duty 4-layer packaging. These kits last up to 25 years in storage. These delicious foods are sealed inside rugged buckets with handles designed to grab and go in a hurry. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Get as many food kits as your family needs for $50 off each. They'll ship fast and free in unmarked boxes. Save $50 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. All right, fellas. So, the iron law of contradiction. Got a whole bunch of emails yesterday. The Supreme Court case was happening involving Donald Trump, one of the many criminal persecutions of Donald Trump that lefties, I'm happy to say, is blowing up right in your face in the polls. It's double-barreled, maybe the triple, but we'll leave that for today. The poor wooden hand needs a break. But I got a bunch of emails yesterday. Supreme Court, the Democrats on the, because they are, Sonia Sotomayor, Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson, doesn't know what a woman is. The Democrats seemed confused yesterday about the limits of presidential power. I'm going to get to that in a second. One of the things that came up is the idea of fake electors. Let me just put this out there before we get to it. If you're using the term fake electors and not alternate electors, you are playing right into the Democrat trap. There's no such thing as fake electors in this case. There were alternate electors. Donald Trump was concerned that the popular vote in some of these states was going to go in his direction if they looked into what was going on, so they had a slate of electors ready to go, which has been done many times. They will take the opposite position. But before I get to that, I wanted to show you this gem. Hat tip Evita, by the way, who sent me this one. The New York Times, which portrays itself as the paragon of journalistic integrity, the old gray lady, they call the old gray lady. They used to be against things like, you know, civil rights violations and that kind of stuff. So Evita sent me this little gem. Here's the New York Times now. Surveillance law, section 702. It keeps us safe, folks. So this happened. Now the New York Times is all in on government surveillance. Now, why would the New York Times be all in on government surveillance? It's very simple when you think about it. David Horowitz explained this once. It'll explain everything I'm about to talk about in this section. About how the left will take a completely contradictory position depending only on what the conservative position is. We'll call it the anti-anti-communist thing because that's what he calls it. If you've heard it before, good. If you haven't heard it before, get ready. It's going to explain everything. Folks, we're the anti-communists, correct? We don't believe in collectivism. We believe in individual liberty. We are the anti-communists. The left are the anti-anti-communists. The left doesn't care about principles. They're full of shit. They have no principles. The left's only principle is what? Power. Abusing power, putting Donald Trump in prison. They don't care about principles or anything. Anything. Anything even resembling a principle. You're the anti-communist. You're in their way. Whatever you believe in, they will take the opposite position if they believe they can use it to get you out of their way. So the left, as Horowitz calls them, are the anti-anti-communists. Why does the New York Times now all in on government surveillance running op-eds about it? Because, folks, the New York Times, their opinion writers and others, they see you as an obstacle and they realize a valuable tool to get rid of you, the anti-communist, is what? Surveillance, the same government they used to lobby against, the ACLU and the left in the past. They used to say they hated that stuff. They hate nothing. They hate being kept from power. That is it. That's the only thing they see as an obstacle is you. We are the anti-communists. They are the anti-anti-communists. They don't care about why do they support the death to America Iranians who throw gay people off buildings? They don't care about them being gay or anything like that. All they care about is using the Iranians to advance a political power of the United States. United States government they feel is working for them. Here's how it relates to yesterday's trial in the Supreme Court. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a big deal. This case is huge. A lot of cases in the Supreme Court are very important, but they're important for specific groups. I brought up the example yesterday on the radio show that a lot of times I'll argue cases in front of the Supreme Court that involve fisheries. They're important. You want to eat fish and not starve to death? You don't want to put a bunch of fishermen out of business. But let's be candid. It affects a rather large portion of the economy, but a limited group of people in there. This Supreme Court case here affects everyone. It is about the limits of presidential power. Now, I want you to see in this clip coming up right here how Sonia Sotomayor, Democrat, obviously a far lefty, she's using an argument, but she's stating a premise in advance. This is the, like, when did you stop beating your wife question. She says to the Trump's team in front of the court, his legal team, well, you know, if the president could do what he was doing, I mean, and he just appoints fake electors to steal an election, the idea of a fake elector is a premise with no justification. They're alternate electors. It's been done many times. And Democrats have argued the exact opposite in the past, that alternate electors should be allowed. Matter of fact, not even far in the past did they argue this. But now the Democrats are taking the opposite position, that presidential electors, if you dare have a slate ready to go, alternate electors, which has been done many times, that this could be a crime. And she says it as a premise to the question. Take a listen.
Apply it to the allegations here. What is plausible about the president assisting in creating a fraudulent slate of electoral candidates? Assuming you accept the facts of the complaint on their face, is that plausible that that would be within his right to do?
Absolutely, Your Honor. We have the historical precedent we cite in the lower courts of President Grant sending federal troops to Louisiana and Mississippi in 1876 to make sure that the Republican electors got certified in those two cases, which delivered the election to Rutherford B. Hayes. The notion that it's completely implausible, I think, just can't be supported based on the face of this indictment.
So you see the anti-communist and anti-anti-communist play going on here, the iron law of contradiction. The Democrats are full of shit. They don't stand for anything. The New York Times and the ACLU and others told you for years, government spying, the CIA, this was all awful, terrible. They'd out them all the time. Now they're all in. Why are they all in? Because they think they can use it to target you. They don't care. They don't care if they're flipping and doing a total 180. They don't care at all. Sonia Sotomayor there is actually implying that having a slate of alternate presidential electors because you dispute the outcome of a state, which has been done many times, implies in her question that that's some kind of nefarious activity. Of course, she gets legally smacked around by Trump's lawyer because Sotomayor is not that bright, which was awesome. And I'll get back to the court case a little bit later, but this is about the contradiction law here. Look at his CNN piece. Van Jones and Lawrence Lessig, two devout lefties. Why Pennsylvania should take its time counting votes. Here they argue the exact opposite case. And by the way, this is also tied to that Arizona thing where a bunch of folks in the Trump orbit were just indicted for being what they call fake electors. on that day, assuming the final count of the popular vote has not been certified. Both slates of Pennsylvania presidential electors, both slates. How can there be two slates? We've been told by Democrats that's a crime. This is Van Jones and Lawrence Lessig, two lefties on CNN. Both slates should meet in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Both slates should cast their votes by ballot. And Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf should await the final resolution of the popular vote count before he certifies which slate should represent the state. Holy shit, that sounds like what Donald Trump did. Now it's a crime. People are indicted, though. How the? That's a crime. Sonia Sotomayor is implying in the immunity case it was a crime, too. But they argued for it a few years ago. The iron law of contradiction. Whatever you believe in, the anti-anti-communists will take the opposite position because you are an obstacle to them, and they will try to crush you with it. They don't give a damn how it looks, how it smells, how it stinks, how it sounds. They don't care. This is what you're dealing with. Here's another gem. One more, and I'm going to get to some other stuff, including the disastrous GDP numbers and hilariously how the left is trying to massage this thing. Oh, we got to nuance them now. Oh, yeah, nuance them, sure. Now we got to nuance them. Here's the Young Turds. You ever hear the Young Turds? This is like one of the really popular goofball liberal shows. They've been around forever. I want you to watch these two morons, okay? When the lab leak theory was thrown around that, hey, you know what? This Wuhan virus that originated in Wuhan, where there's a lab that studies viruses like the Wuhan virus, that studies bat coronaviruses, where there was an outbreak near the Wuhan lab, a lot of smart conservatives were like, that sounds kind of suspicious, especially considering the State Department has records of biosafety lab issues with this lab, and it is the Chinese Communist Party. People were scratching their heads. They're like, that sounds like it could have leaked from the lab. What does that have to do with the iron law of contradiction? Because you said it, and Trump said it. Hey, maybe this thing leaked from a lab. It kind of sounds logical, right? The morons on the left had to take the opposite position. Why? Not because they believed it. Why the iron law of contradiction? Because you're in their way and they had to make you look stupid. Now, all of a sudden, that penalty's gone and Biden's in office and it's getting really, really hard to ignore the obvious that this thing was a lab leak. Now when they feel it's comfortable to walk away from the obvious contradiction they had in the past to get you out of the way, now they all change their position. They think we don't know. Big hat tip, Maze Moore. I saw this video there. This is great. Check this out.
Everyone who believes in the conspiracy is saying that it came out of a lab in Wuhan rather than through food at a market.
And he continued to push a conspiracy theory that has already been debunked by our intelligence community. This whole notion that the coronavirus was developed in a Chinese lab, that has been debunked.
Is that I don't know who to trust.
Yeah.
Right? I certainly don't trust reporters. Mm-hmm. Because reporters treated this initially as if it was nothing more than a crazy, unhinged conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
So who do you trust, right? You can't trust the legacy media outlets because that was their narrative.
It's came out of the city that has a Wuhan Institute of Virology, a Chinese lab that worked on coronaviruses. Man, that is an awfully large coincidence. And that's what I've thought throughout, that was an awfully large coincidence.
I know you get angry at this stuff. Don't get angry, or get angry, but channel it into something productive, like wiping these people off the electoral map. It was obvious to anyone with half a freaking brain that the thing obviously came from Wuhan. But what kills me is these people knew that. They all knew that. They're not dumb. But the iron law of contradiction, whatever you say, they are going to say the opposite. If Donald Trump would have come out and said, listen, I've got a solution for COVID. I'm dead serious. This is not intended to be humorous. If Donald Trump would have come out, you know it. And he would have said, folks, I have a solution for this coronavirus outbreak. The minute it started, everyone wear masks. I promise you, as my name is Dan Bongino, the Young Turds, everyone else on the left in the media would have mocked Donald Trump for even suggesting that this ridiculous face diaper would stop a microscopic virus because of the iron law of contradiction. You're in their way and they've got you all the time. You know, I did a segment on the radio show yesterday, how it's hard to reason with people not interested in reason, but the third party's always listening. These are about 20, 25%, 30% of America right now. It's sad. The liberal movement is, and the virus has infected these crazies, okay? But there are persuadable people out there, and there's a third party listening. And I was talking yesterday about the power of the streets. You have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the left has understood this for a long time. How do they keep people detached from reason? They do it by this mass psyop. They've done it forever. The psychological operation the left is engaged in for decades is street power. They want piles of people in the street blocking traffic and doing all this. They do it for a reason. It's meant to give you the false impression that despite the fact that your reason and logic is telling you you're not crazy, the Ling League from a lab, when these people are out in the street and they're on TV every day, regardless of the issue, they kill the Jews crowd, Israel, the Middle East, the Wuhan lab, the economy, it doesn't matter. They want to give the impression that there's a mass movement out there and you may be the crazy one if you start using reason to figure it out. This is why they use the streets. This is why these riots are going on right now. This is why you're seeing these takeovers of the college campus. Believe me, the Middle East is a secondary issue to them. The first issue is power and making sure, making absolutely sure you feel like the crazy. There's a way to beat them, and it's to spread the word that they're the nutbags, not us. So you tell them I'm a little fired up this morning. Why? I slept good last night. You tossing and turning tonight, unable to catch those elusive Z's? Trust me, I've been there. I am the worst sleeper ever. It's not just about feeling tired the next day. It's about the toll poor sleep can take on you. It's not just your reasoning. It's your physical function, your exercise habits. Everything's worse the next day if you don't sleep well. I've got the solution for you. Beams Dream Powder. It's my go-to. This stuff's been a game changer for me. See, when we're sleeping well, we're sharper. We're everything we do better. Our work, play, whatever we do. Beams Dream Powder. It's like a lullaby and a cup. I use it every night. Here's the best part. Dream is formulated with all natural ingredients tested for high quality efficacy. No grogginess the next day. That'd be a big problem. You don't want that. Just pure, blissful sleep. It's easy to incorporate into your nighttime routine. Just mix it up, sip it, slip into sweet dreams. It's really that simple. So if you're ready to kiss those sleepless nights goodbye, head over to shopbeam.com/Bongino. Use code Bongino for up to 40% off your order. That's shopbeam.com/Bongino. Use code Bongino. Your future self will thank you. Until next time, sleep tight. You'll love Beam Dream Powder. Check it out. All right, back to the show. The misinformation bullshit, the lack of ability on the left to use reason in any way, shape, or form, this is decades old. This is not new. It's not, to be generous to us, it's not unique to our generation. None of it. It's been going on for a long time. Even when objective numbers are released. Ladies and gentlemen, the economy sucks, okay? The economy is in bad shape. Most of the growth from the economy, and I'm using the dreaded air quotes, is coming from government spending, which is sucking money out of the economy before it puts it back in and giving the government a cut itself as they pay everyone. The GDP numbers came out yesterday. This is the most important number in economics. The number means, are we growing or not? It's basically a measure of the national wealth. Are we growing or not? If your wealth is growing by 3 to 4% a year, you're doing damn good. In 20 years, you're going to double your wealth. If it's growing by less than that, you're not going to double your wealth as quickly, okay? What's a good GDP number? A good GDP number is like 2.5%, 3% right now. A great number would be 4. Anything below 2 sucks. It's an objective number, okay? The suck factor is real. Here's David Asman on Fox yesterday about these horrendous GDP numbers, but I want you to see again how the media, they're experts in reframing to make sure that their liberal allies are protected. Even an objectively shit number. Check this out.
Yeah. These GDP numbers were shocking.
Yeah,
we were expecting a 2.4% growth.
Yep.
The actual came in at 1.6.
Correct.
Huge loss. And with rising inflation, even the Fed is admitting that inflation is not only sticky, but it seems to be going in the wrong direction.
Yep.
That adds up to stagflation.
I know, and I was preparing myself for your using that word, because that's something we haven't seen since the 1970s.
I know most of you know it, so forgive me, I'm not trying to talk down to anybody, but do you remember what stagflation is? Stagflation was basically disintegration of the Phillips curve. This idea that there was a trade-off between unemployment and inflation. As unemployment went down, inflation would go up. The whole idea is as the economy got hot, that inflation would go up, more people would start trying to buy stuff and drive up the prices of things, okay? That was dismantled in the Jimmy Carter era, where for one of the first times in modern U.S. history, we saw a disconnect there. there. We saw unemployment high and inflation high at the same time. And a bunch of liberal economists were like, man, that doesn't make any sense. The Phillips curve, like a Phillips screwdriver. It's really important you understand this because a lot of dopey leftists still believe this. For the one of the first times in modern American history under Carter, we saw inflation and unemployment go up at the same time. And they were confused. They were like, wait, if unemployment's high and people aren't making a lot of money, then how is inflation hot because people aren't going out and buying stuff? What they didn't understand is there's a total disconnect between these two things. Inflation's related to the money supply, and unemployment has a multitude of factors, okay? Right now, although the unemployment numbers are relatively low, labor force participation is not great, and most of these jobs are going to people who are illegally in the country. The economy sucks. So we're starting to kind of tilt back into these stagflation days where we have a stagnant economy and inflation's going up at the same time. That's what he's talking about there. But of course, here's left-wing Axios to the rescue. Now, if there was a 1.6% GDP number that came out under the Trump years, I can guarantee you this headline would have been, I mean, total apocalypto, man. You ever see that movie? They would have been like cutting people's hearts out. They've been screaming, the cataclysm is here. It's over. Everyone go out and prepare today. Get your potassium iodine pills. The drama, it's true. Tony said, the drama would have been so dramatic, right? Am I kidding? It would have been insane. But because it's Biden, the liberal media is very good at what I call reframing stuff. So we talked about the iron law of contradiction in the beginning. They'll do the opposite of what you do and then switch it around later if they don't really care. Reframing is critical. They've got it to any time it's a, watch this now. You'll see it. Anytime it's a Democrat or liberal president and an economic number is bad, it's always, they need it in context or there's nuance to it. We need to look deeper or a deeper dive. If it's a Republican, they don't give a shit. 1.6% GDP, you suck. The economy's collapsing. Here's what I mean. Axios. The good and the bad inside the worse than expected GDP report. Oh, there's a good in that? They note the economy's slowing down. Gee, really? Thank you. It's amazing. But the outlook is not as bleak as the GDP headline figure suggests. Really? It isn't? Instead, the report, folks, tells a nuanced story of where things stand. It's nuance. Always nuance. You know why it matters? The 1.6% annualized growth rate confirms the economy is not reaccelerating to start 2024. Then they go into this big, long explanation about why it isn't such a bad thing. You know, I was putting together the show, and I sent this to Tony. Did I not, Tony? I said, scrap this. It's not even worth it, folks. I was going to put up for you five or six screenshots of GDP numbers that were better than 1.6% under Republicans, 2.1, where the better than this. And this headline's basically like, why the economy sucks, why this president's, you know, grabbing moose nuts, why this guy is a piece of shit. I could have, I'm like, you know what, forget, you get the point. The economy is garbage. Everybody knows it. Union workers know it. People out there know it. Truck drivers know it. HVAC guys know it. Plumbers know it. Rail workers know it. Cops know it. Everybody knows it. Rich guys, poor guys, middle class guys. Everybody knows it. The only people who don't know it, and they're desperately trying to tell you that you're crazy, that you're crazy. This is the power of the streets. Is the media. David Sacks put this out on Twitter. David Sacks, a very wealthy guy, but he's a pretty smart guy. He's talking about not only, one, the economy's awful right now. The media can reframe it all they want. But remember, meat on the bone, folks. If Biden is reelected, your taxes are going up. And they are discussing a 25% wealth tax that the only thing that'll save you is the courts, in addition to a 44% capital gains tax. So David Sacks has this interesting hypothetical here. He says, let's say you build a business from scratch and you qualify for Biden's new 25% wealth tax, basically. So you'd have to sell 25% of your business to pay the tax, correct? Because you're probably not liquid. So if you owe a 25% tax on your $100,000 business, you'd have to pay $25,000, correct? That's what the tax is, folks. It's not a tax on income, it's a tax on wealth. But then he notes, but then on top of the $25,000 capital gain you just sold because you had to sell 25% of your business to sell the wealth tax, you'd have to pay a 44% capital gains tax, plus in California, another 13% on top of that. So you actually have to sell 37% of your business. Is this right? Listen, folks, I showed you yesterday how Biden is openly now proclaiming that he is going to hike your taxes and repeal the Trump tax cuts. He's saying it. You don't have to listen to me. Just listen to him. All of your taxes are going up. I was just talking about the income taxes. I didn't even mention this yesterday. This is Sachs is not crazy. He's made a lot of money over the years doing a lot of big high-end business deals. He's doing some very relatively simple math. You will be bankrupted if this kid-sniffing woman groper gets back in the White House. You will. You will be bankrupted. Remember I said this. Folks, the economy sucks and everyone knows it. I want you to watch this Fox segment yesterday. Nobody knows this better than people who get their fingers and their fingernails dirty for a living because they work. This country was built by people doing manual labor. They built it. Their hands built it. Their know-how built it. No one knows this better than union workers. Fox did an interview yesterday with after Donald Trump left this union rally with a head of one of these union shops. I never heard this about a Republican before. I should have, because we've always been the party of the working man. But I'll be straight with you. I haven't. I haven't heard this before. Hopefully we'll hear more of this. Check this out.
It was great to see the president come and engaging with the blue-collar worker of New York City. We basically built New York. The union movement has made the middle class. And we are very patriotic union, and we are pro-America. So my members right now, I put out a poll in my union. President Trump is leading Joe Biden 3-1 on my presidential poll out of my 9,000 members right now. We are very tired of the situation with groceries, inflation, gas prices, illegal immigration, crime. We are living it every day in New York City.
Folks, don't take a leak on my leg and tell me, look, it's a thunderstorm. You think these guys are stupid? They're paying $22 for a freaking egg sandwich in the local deli and a Yoo-Hoo. You think they're dumb? They were paying what? 12? 12. It's New York City. You're probably lucky to get away with 12. These guys are getting screwed. They were parking their cars in the city for probably $40 a day. It's probably $140 now. You think they're dumb? These contractors are dealing with, hey, I got to go pour some concrete. Yeah, that's going to be $47,000. For a little thing of concrete, it was $40 last week. Yeah, prices. You think they're stupid? These people know exactly what's going on. And what do I always tell you about campaigns, folks? Snapshots and sound bites. Snapshots and sound bites. Quick sound bites and snapshots and pictures are going to change the entire course of this campaign. Here is a devastating soundbite. A lot of people laughed at this yesterday. This was a bigger deal than you think. They're doing an interview with another union guy who walks out. They say, you have a message for Joe Biden? He had an interesting message. Close the kids' ears, though. You don't want to hear this. Check this out.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
Fuck you.
A lot of anger out there. These are the people who work for a living. They have free speech too, and say whatever they want. Joe Biden was very upset about that, by the way. He doesn't like that. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to get one big sign. We're in a lot of trouble with the economy. We always told you about the bond vigilantes. Also, did you see what happened to the San Jose mayor? Folks, is it Chester's? Is it bad enough yet? Bocchino, get on the case. Again, is it getting there? Yes. Is it bad enough yet? I don't think so. But after you watch this video, you're going to be convinced it's getting pretty bad. If you haven't seen this video, what happened with the San Jose mayor? This is just freaking bananas. For me, as a former security guy, too, this is crazy. Folks, Fast Growing Tree is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S. They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day both a live and thrive guarantee. They offer free plant consultation forever. I use fast growing trees. It's really important because down here in Florida, not everything's going to grow in this soil in this area. The plants are still thriving. We love them. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when they use code Dan at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com. Use the code Dan at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com. Code Dan. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. For details, visit fastgrowingtrees.com. And our last sponsor, Blackout Coffee. You know we love Blackout Coffee. I'm a multi-cupper every day, but that's up to you. I want a coffee that tastes like coffee. If I want a brown water, I pour some water, put some food coloring in it. I don't want that. I want coffee that tastes like coffee. It's bold, but it's not bitter. I love these guys. I also love these guys because they love the country. But honestly, loving the country means you got to produce good stuff too. These guys are capitalists. They produce the best coffee out there. They use premium grade coffee beans. They love this country. They love coffee. That's what they do. These woke mega corporations, they're selling you this crap coffee. They're putting these low grade beans into the American people's body. We don't want that. That's why I'm proud to personally recommend Blackout Coffee. Start the year off right with a resolution to support companies like Blackout Coffee. Skip the long lines at the store, order online. The cinnamon French toast, you chatsters know it, is absolutely delicious. The blueberry crumble is amazing. The regular coffee's great. The espresso is amazing. The folks at Blackout Coffee ship within 48 hours of roasting. It's incredible. Do me a favor. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/Bongino and see what I'm talking about. They're the real deal. It's time to quit drinking woke corporate junk coffee every morning. That's blackoutcoffee.com/Bongino or use coupon code Bongino for 20% off your first order. Make the switch to Blackout Coffee. You can thank me later. All right, folks, we listen. This the bond vigilantes. I've warned you about them often. Bond vigilantes, this is a term you really have to get familiar with, okay? Bond vigilantes are people who go out there in the bond market and basically buy U.S. government bonds, okay? When they buy these bonds, they obviously expect to have their money paid back or they wouldn't be investing in the bond. So there's always a risk premium for a bond, right? The United States government is getting money from a bunch of people lending it money, and they're getting it relatively cheap right now. The interest rate is the price of what it would cost to lend them money, right? Folks, here we go. CNBC, 10-year Treasury yield leaps to the highest level in more than 5 months after this new GDP report. It is only a matter of time before the bond vigilantes out there stop lending us money. When they stop lending us money, we're going to have to offer them a whole lot more money to lend us money through a higher interest rate. Where's that money going to come from? You, baby, and out of your wallet. Once those interest rates go up, they're going to start to ripple through the entire economy. Mortgage rates are going to go up. Car loan rates are going to go up. All of this stuff is going to go up, and the United States will be bankrupt. We have way too much debt. We are way too interest rate sensitive right now. Just keep your eye on that. I don't want to beat that up. I talk about it a lot. But the bond vigilantes will shut this economy down so fast if we don't get a hold of this thing. Now, I asked you, I hope, Bongino, you're on the case there. How many people out there think it's bad enough that there's going to be a mass shift in voting patterns in the United States, i.e. Ronald Reagan, 1984? All right, not that many, obviously. You know the deal. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. Every day you saw the union workers before, you see a lot of black voters moving over to our side, Hispanic voters. There are more and more and larger chunks of voter demographics who are breaking down and starting to realize that the Republican Party is their only path. I'm not telling you the solution to all your problems are Republican. I know you guys know that. All I'm telling you is that the cause of your problems are unquestionably the Democrats. Can we all agree on that? I want you to watch this. Is it bad enough yet? This happened. I haven't played one of these. The San Jose mayor apparently is giving some interview at a local news station. Some dude just comes over, hijacks the interview, and gets into like a Tyson Holyfield like fight with this guy where they're like standing and staring each other down. They're like throwing jabs, hooks. Looks like an MMA match. Check this out.
I'm doing an interview, sir.
Are you doing an interview? Yeah. Thank you. Oh, yeah, I'm moving on. I work right there. I'm talking on the phone. You got a problem?
Yeah, we're just trying to do it.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Cool. I appreciate you, Mike. Yeah, Shamaya. Yeah. I'm going to go do what I'm going to do right before you walked up. You know what I'm saying? Either way it goes. First of all, hold up. What? No, bro. Hold up. No. Let go.
Hold on a second. Let's go.
I'll smack you right now, bitch. Okay. I will smack you. You want to get smacked?
Okay, that's enough.
Hey!
I don't even know what to say. Tony knows he cut this thing. That thing goes on for like another 2 minutes. The guy's trying to do like a judo flip on him. They're like, there's like Muay Thai kicks in there. He's like jabbing it. This goes on for, is it bad enough yet? It's getting there. Is it bad enough yet? No, you all know what's happening. But we're getting there. More and more, Tony just says, so California. Like, this is the kind of thing you see in New York and California. Down here, just put your ass right in jail. Like 20 guys lock you up. You'll be right in a clink. All right, back to the important stuff. That's why I wanted to kind of wrap up the show today with this really critical item. Folks, the case in the Supreme Court I addressed in the beginning right now over presidential immunity is one of the most important Supreme Court cases of our lifetime. It really is. It defines the very basics of the government that we live under. What are the checks and balances? Where are the red lines? Now, while I agree with the position of most sane lawyers out there, I'm not talking about the liberal nutbags, that obviously presidential immunity is not absolute. If Donald Trump were to, say, walk out of the White House one day, you know, dump his Secret Service detail, take out a 1940s switchblade, and go all like sharks in the jets and shank a few dudes, I think we can all agree there would probably be an issue. That is not in any way in his official duties, say he lost his mind or did something like that. There would be some serious criminal liability. However, the definition of what official acts are has got to be pretty broad. It has to be pretty broad because, and if I don't explain this well, Tony, make sure you cut me off. Because it doesn't matter what the president's motivations are. If you're going to be a freaking mind reader, I could say, well, Joe Biden is engaging in this diplomatic talk in a one-on-one with China because he's only motivated to keep the Chinese happy so they don't rat out his son in the business. That you could apply that anywhere when it comes to motivation. The definition of an official act obviously has to be broad, or the president is going to be arrested by the opposing political party either while in or the second he leaves the White House, and they're not going to want to do anything. It has to be a broad definition. I know that doesn't sound cute. I know a lot of people are understandably upset because it seems like there's two justice systems, but there isn't. The president is a unitary executive. The power is vested in him. What he specifically does has direct impact on the branch of government. That's not the case in the two other branches to that degree. A Supreme Court justice can do something. It doesn't necessarily mean a case is going to go their way. A member of Congress is only one out of 435. Not the president. There has to be some broad definition of what his executive powers are and what that immunity and official acts means. Ketanji Brown Jackson, who doesn't even know what a woman is, seemed confused about this whole thing and what country she lives in the court yesterday. She's like, she describes this hypothetical, and the guy's like, you're talking about the same country we've lived in for the last 200 plus years. Listen to this.
Let me put this worry on the table. If the potential for criminal liability is taken off the table, wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon while they're in office? It's right now the fact that we're having this debate because OLC has said that presidents might be prosecuted. Presidents from the beginning of time have understood that that's a possibility. That might be what has kept this office from turning into the kind of crime center that I'm envisioning. But once we say, no criminal liability, Mr. President, you can do whatever you want, I'm worried that we would have a worse problem than the problem of the president feeling constrained to follow the law while he's in office.
I respectfully disagree with that because the regime you've described is the regime we've operated under for 234 years. There has not been an expectation based on 234 years of unbroken political.
All right, let me ask you another question.
You see how she gets wrecked on the legal point? These are supposed to be, by the way, the brightest legal minds of our time. They're on the freaking Supreme Court, the most powerful court in the land. She gets wrecked on the point, just moves on. She's basically trying to say, you know, listen, man, what's to stop a president from losing their mind in office and doing all this stuff they don't perceive to be some kind of criminal liability at the end? And the lawyer's like, what are you talking about? Like, we've already lived under the system for 200 years and no one's suggesting there's no criminal liability. And we haven't had the incident you're talking about. So what are you even discussing? And she just immediately moves on. Folks, it's really important we all understand this. For both Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, any president, Green Party, whoever it may be, if the definition of official acts in the presidency isn't broad with some significant latitude, the opposing party is going to turn us into a third world North Korea where everything is going to be described as a crime when they get out of jail. And by the way, we already have a remedy for this. The remedy is called impeachment. The reason impeachment is a political process, not a criminal one, although it models the criminal system, is it creates a high bar to remove a president from office, who then can be prosecuted from anything because they're not the president. But it mandates that political decisions be made about what the perimeter of that behavior was. And it creates a high bar, a trial in the Senate with the Chief Justice watching over the trial to make sure that a president, if he has committed some crime in office that is outside of the bounds of their official act, that at least we have some way to check that first before it gets in the hand of a local trial judge in some liberal area of New York City. I'm sorry, but I'm passionate about this because it seems like such a common sense argument. This should be a 9-0 ruling that, yes, the presidential immunity that applies to criminal cases is expansive. In civil cases, even more expansive. It does touch on the outer perimeter of official acts, even if you disagree with them. The motivation doesn't matter because you don't understand the motivation. You're not in their head anyway, and you can retroactively reply that to anything. And there's already a process to get rid of the president. It's called impeachment. The Democrats tried it twice. Here's the voice of common sense on the Supreme Court for decades now, Clarence Thomas, basically asking really simple questions here. Like, hey, you know Operation Mongoose? The whole, you know, Cuba operation? The United States government is engaged in activity for decades that could be considered actual crimes. Why haven't we arrested anyone yet? For the same reason I just told you, we would effectively shut down the presidency and we would shut down any function of our government. Check this out.
Over in not so distant past, the presidents or certain presidents have engaged in various activity, coups or operations like Operation Mongoose when I was a teenager, and yet there were no prosecutions. Why? If what you're saying is right, it would seem that that would have been ripe for criminal prosecution of someone.
So, Justice Thomas, I think this is a central question. The reason why there have not been prior criminal prosecutions is that there were not crimes.
Holy shit, folks. Do you see the crazy lunatic lefties, how they're flipping the script again, doing the dipsy-doo flipperoo, and there's no guiding principle here at all? So just to be clear, this hinges on two things, and the left wants discretion. The crazy lefties, the kill the Jews crowd, they want discretion in both of them. First, the left wants discretion to prosecute Republican presidents. They want to be able to use their discretion to determine what an official act is or isn't. Tony, where could that possibly go wrong? Nothing will be an official act. Why? Because the left said so. And then after they determine what are official and unofficial acts, which would destroy the presidency as you know it, destroy it. Then after that, they want to be able to determine if the act they decided was unofficial because they want to prosecute you as a crime or not. You understand the 75 different ways from Sunday this could absolutely decimate the United States as we know it. Imagine that, you know, the left that loves military action now, by the way, under Joe Biden. $95 billion in foreign aid. They love it now. The same left it with a Cindy Sheehan, whatever, code pinkers, who hated George W. Bush for the Iraq War, which, for the record, I thought was a bad idea and still do, but I actually have some principles, unlike these other losers, right? Can you imagine if we get Donald Trump, say, back in office, and there is a attack that goes wrong in, say, Syria, and some innocents get killed? I can only imagine the explanations that are going to come out of the left, Lawrence Lessig and Van Jones and others, whatever, the same ones arguing before the opposite case about electors. I can only imagine them trying to argue, that wasn't really an official act. It was a personal motivation for Donald Trump. He's looking to build a hotel in Syria. We've got a PP tape that shows he was being bribed by the Syrian government. So it's all a quick. Can you imagine where this could go? The left loves nothing more than you leaving the perimeters of power up to their discretion. Nothing more. You see it in Arizona now. This Arizona case is another legal abomination, like the Twinkies case, like Fannie Willis. The Arizona Attorney General is a nut. Is a nut who a lot of people believe stole her office as well. All of a sudden, this Arizona abortion controversy happens. The Arizona polls show Donald Trump up 5 points. And the Arizona Attorney General's like, wow, look, I just indicted Donald Trump's entire inner circle over fake electors, the same fake electors that are called alternate electors that Van Jones and Lawrence Lessig and other liberals argued for back in 2016 and 2020. You mean those, quote, fake electors? You see how they love leaving all this up to liberal discretion? Discretion is the greatest weapon of the commie because they'll always use it against you and use the same discretion to protect their own. Here's the Arizona Attorney General just a few months back. I want you to notice here how she makes a real point about how this supposedly blind applier of justice in the state of Arizona, she makes a real strong point here about how they must get Joe Biden reelected, but I'm sure she's just going to use her discretion to enforce the law. Check this out.
Well, you know, as my colleague from Massachusetts just mentioned, we absolutely have to get President Biden reelected because one of my fears is, despite the fact that, you know, Republicans said they wanted to send this back to states for states to decide, I think there's a real movement in the sort of extreme elements.
You want this person to have the discretion? Wide latitude and discretion in these people's hands. Now, prosecutorial discretion is a very real thing, folks. It is. Having a degree of prosecutorial discretion is necessary in a constitutional republic. I'll give you just a quick, easy example to understand, okay? You know, say thin latitude rather than thick latitude, prosecutorial discretion. Say you're a police officer, right? Not a prosecutor, but the example is easy to understand. You can very well say if you're, say, doing highway patrol and someone's speeding and you find out there's a woman who's pregnant in the car, you're under no obligation to give that individual person a ticket. Call that a form of prosecutorial discretion. I get it. I understand you're an investigator, not a prosecutor, but you get the point. Prosecutors don't have to prosecute everybody. They don't. And a lot of times there's blanket declinations and declinations of cases. The problem is what the left wants is such an expansive definition of what they call discretion that they can constantly move the border. So what they want to do is they want to issue a blanket declination on political grounds. So when I was a federal agent, if you didn't have a financial fraud over $300,000, they would say it's blanket decline. It doesn't matter who it is. They're not going to bring it in, okay? 300 grand. But they can't say we're not going to prosecute Democrats over Republicans. You get what I'm saying? What Democrats want now is they want the discretion to be able to use the law and say, I'm not going to go out on patrol and give anyone a highway ticket for speeding who's a Democrat, but I'm going to ticket a bunch of Republicans. That's why they're trying to expand the definition and discretion of what they can declare official acts and crimes, because they want to use it as a weapon against every single Republican president moving forward. And ladies and gentlemen, if they succeed, it is going to be an absolute death sentence for the Republican Party moving forward. I hope you understand that. So big takeaways today, folks. The iron law of contradiction. Once you learn to recognize it, you'll see it everywhere. Reframing. Watch what the media is doing. When your friends tell you 1.6% GDP is absolutely fantastic, say, really? How did you feel when Donald Trump hit 3% GDP? Because a lot of people wrote about the struggling economy, yet it was twice as much as Joe Biden. Why'd you think that? You learn to see these little tricks. We'll see right through it. We got a big election coming up. Thanks for all the feedback, by the way, on yesterday's show. I deeply appreciate it. Folks, laser focus. We've got an election to win. No more pissing in each other's Cheerios. Enough. We've got a country to save. After the election, once we win, you do whatever you want. It's not my business, but not now. We got an election to win and a country to save, and I so deeply appreciate you taking this journey with me. Please download the Rumble app if you want to watch the show for free every single day, 11 a.m. Eastern time, or you can watch on desktop, rumble.com/Bongino. And if you wouldn't mind, give us a follow on Apple and Spotify. I'm not going to be able to do the radio show later. Sorry, I've got to bounce after this. I've got a family event, but I do want to do my podcast because I got to get on the air every day, folks, especially after this important Supreme Court case. I will see you back here on Monday.
You just heard the Dan Bongino Show.